It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Blackman Auctions. For over 80 years, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Lucas Glover could be the hottest golfer on the PGA Tour right now. After winning the Wyndham Championship, he goes and wins the FedEx St. Jude Championship, the first event of the playoffs on the PGA Tour. Glover, 43 years old, became the third oldest golfer in PGA Tour history to win on back-to-back weeks. Vijay Singh did it in 2008. Hill Irwin did it in 1990. They were both 45 years old. Did Glover think this was possible even 3 months ago?
Yeah, I mean, if you'd have told me this 3 months ago, I'd tell you you're crazy. But at the same time, if you asked me legitimately, did I think I was capable, I'd say yes. And even then, just one of those sad ways athletes are wired. We always believe in ourselves, no matter how bad it is. And, you know, I never gave that up, but... yeah, like middle of May, it was hard to go to the range some days and hard to work, but we pushed through and did it anyway.
Congratulations to Lucas on his back-to-back victories, and it's on to Chicago for him. Coming up on this edition of From the Short Grass, I sit down with 2011 United States Senior Amateur Champion Lewis Lee. Lewis is one of the finest gentlemen you'll ever meet, and his victory in 2011 practically came out of nowhere. You will hear his story after the break. Since 1938, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Find them on the web, blackmanauctions.com, one of our great sponsors of From the Short Grass. We're back after this.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
This is Thomas Blackman of Blackman Auctions. When you call Blackman Auctions to sell your assets, you begin a multi-point plan to get the highest value possible. Each auction takes 30 to 45 days of planning and strategic marketing for your real estate, your equipment, and your assets. You've worked hard for your property, and it deserves more than a sign in the yard or a post on the internet. Sometimes marketing is more than just a commercial with a great-sounding spokesman. Call me. Let me come up with a plan to tell your story and turn your assets into money. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Lewis Lee had not played a single competitive golf event in more than 25 years before his brother Stanford asked him to try and qualify for the U.S. Senior Amateur Championship in 2011. Qualify he did, and he and Stanford both drove to Virginia with their wives together, ended up playing each other, and what happens next? Lewis Lee wins the 2011 USGA Senior Amateur Championship. On the tee, the 2011 U.S. Senior Amateur Champion, Lewis Lee.
Lewis, thanks for joining me on From the Short Grass, a USGA champion. Does that ever get old?
I don't think so, Trey. No, I'm not sure Rialto has even kicked in since I won, and that's been a long time ago. That's been 12 years ago, but it still seems a little bit surreal.
I was going to say, 2011 is when you won, and you're telling me that it still seems surreal to this day?
Yeah, it really does, because, I mean, if you think about what happened there, I had not played competitive golf in literally 36 years. Because I was starting a business and had a family, and I just didn't have time to play. And my game always necessitated practice. I never was able to go out and just play and play well. I had to work at it. And for 36 years, I built a business. And when I turned 55, Stan came in the office. He was working for me at that time. And he said, "You're going to go qualify for the senior amateur." And I said, I don't have time. I said, "I've got to make a living." And he forced me to enter the qualification, and I went up to Mountain Home, Big Creek, mm-hmm. and somehow stumbled in and qualified, and I didn't really want to go. You know, my game wasn't very good. I knew what a USGA course was. I knew how intimidating it was, and I was nervous when I drove out of my driveway, but it just strange things happen and just kind of all fell together.
When you say Stan pushed you or forced you to go, I mean, he's your older brother, and he's a past USGA champion as well. Won in 2007,
That's
I believe.
Correct. That's correct.
His U.S. senior amateur. What do you remember about him and him winning his senior amateur?
I wasn't too surprised because, you know, Stan was always just a great player, you know, tour player, All-American at LSU. You know, he had achieved much more than I had on every level. Mm-hmm. But I just remember the him going up there, and he said before he left, he said, "I've got a feeling I'm going to win this thing." Well, I kind of blew that off because, you know, what are the odds?
Right.
But he gets up there, and he gets into qualifying, and that's hard in itself, playing 36 holes and getting in the top 64. That's not a gimme. And once he did that, he said, "I wasn't playing very well," and he found something. And he said, "I've just found something." And I'd talk to him every night. He said, "I found it." He said, "I've got it." And the night before the final match, he calls me. He said, "I won, beat somebody." And I said, "I'm coming up, and I'm going to caddy for you." And he says, "No, you're not." he said that will change the dynamic. And he said, "I'll probably try too hard, and I'll play bad, and it'll be your fault." And so I said, "Okay, I'm not coming." And, history will record that he played well and beat some poor guy from Birmingham pretty bad.
Wow. So yeah. And then, ironically, the year you won, 2011, you both qualified, got through the 36 holes. Yeah. You looked at the match play tree, and did you look at it and immediately know that, okay, if we win these matches, Stan, Lewis, Lee are going to meet head-to-head?
We absolutely did that because I think the medal play score to make qualifying to match play was 151, I think, and Stan shot like 145, and I shot like 150. I got in one shot below the playoff. They were like two spots and 10 players, so I got in, just barely limped in, and we go to the big board after they'd drawn the pairings up, and we see that, and we're just saying, "Yeah, all right, you know, that'll never happen." and we had to each win three matches to get there. And funny story, Trey, the third match, I had won my match. I was in the clubhouse, and we were playing in Kenlock Golf Club in Richmond, Virginia. Mm-hmm. And the 18th green is about 500 yards across this big pond from the clubhouse, so you really can't see what's going on. Somebody had told me that Stan was one up going to 18, playing a friend of ours. His name was Tony Green from Bristol, Virginia, great player. And they come to 18, and I'm hearing this on the USGA radio. Somebody says, "Well, Stan's hit it to 6 inches on 18. Long, hard par four around the water. Stan's hit it to 6 inches. Looks like he's got this thing won. Tony Green holds it.
Oh, no.
He knocks it in the hole with an 8-iron. They go flying past to the first hole for a playoff. We all knew what was at stake here. I was going to play Stan. And, you know, what are the odds of somebody knocking it in from 150 yards? But anyway, that happened, and Stan goes to the first hole of sudden death and stiffs it and beats the guy. So, you know, our kind of our wildest dreams came to fruition.
Okay, so you and Stan are locked in. Y'all both won three matches. You're going to play each other. Yeah. What were the conversations like after he had won in extra holes to advance to compete against you?
Well, neither one of us could believe it. It was like, is this really happening? We had this conversation through the evening and then during the match. How's this thing going to finish? You know, and I kept saying, listen, you know, you're the better player. You've got a lot better chance, because there were, you know, this was the quarterfinal match. There were two more matches, and two or three of the best players literally in the country were there. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'll jack a 4-foot putt on 18 or whatever it takes. And this is going on through the whole round. We're talking, and we've got to be careful, because the USGA is right there. They might have kicked us both out of the tournament. I don't know. We're talking about throwing the match. And we just kept saying, until about 12 or 13, we were just saying, this has got to end somehow. How are we going to do this?
You could have conceded.
I could have, and I probably should have. But we were both playing good, and we came to 16, and I was one up going to 16. And I hit it up. I've got a par putt about like 3 feet, and I miss it. And to this day, Stan thinks I missed that on purpose. I didn't. I tried, and I did everything I could. But anyway, we go to 17, long par three. We
both all square.
We're all square. Both par 17, long hard par three, and then 18 is this long par four, elevated tee, water all the way down the left, gunch on the right. It's just an intimidating shot, and I kind of make a mess of it. Stan hits it down the fairway and hits it up there about 6 feet. I'm left and right, and I chip it up about 15 feet for par, and I make it for par. And I say, Stan, that's good. And he just says, what? And the USGA stops, and they said, what did you say, Mr. Lee? And I said, I told him to pick it up. That's good. And one of the USGA officials said, why would you do that? And I said, well, I do not want him to lose this match for missing a short putt. We're going to decide this in extra holes.
Yeah.
And they looked at me like I was a complete bozo. We go to the first hole. I hit it about 20 feet. He's about 18 feet. I make it. He misses. And that's the way it ended.
So he missed an 18-footer in extra holes.
And we both tried everything as hard as we could, every shot. And that's the way it was supposed to end.
And then after that, he hops on and he's looping for you the rest of it.
He's looping for me, yeah. And I play a guy from Amarillo, Texas named Doug Dowdy, a really good player. And I had one of those days. I had found it, and mm-hmm. I was really playing good, and I beat him pretty bad. And I think I beat him 5-4. And then that sets up the finals the next morning. A guy from Nashua, New Hampshire, a guy named Phil Pleat, mm-hmm. and he was their state amateur champion. And he had beat Chip Lutz. Chip Lutz is a national name. He's won the senior amateur, the British senior amateur, the Canadian senior amateur. He's a great friend. He's a great player. And Phil beat Chip on the last hole. And I saw that as, this may be my chance, because I had played with Chip in the qualifying, and this guy was really good. I just didn't think I could play with him. And when Phil beat him, I said, you know, I may have a chance here.
Yeah.
And as it turned out, I played really well. It's a really hard golf course, but Stan was right there every shot. And had he not been there, Trey, I would not have won, but I was 4 up through 11, and I think I was 3 under par, playing great. Everything was going good, and then I 3-putted 12 to go back to 3 down, and I got a little bit shook there. Mm-hmm. I hit 2 good shots, but I hit the wrong club. Hit it 50 feet past, 3-putted coming back. He birdies the next hole, so I'm 2 down. The next hole is about 160-yard par 3 with water on the edge of the green, and I get over it, and I pull it into the water and make double. I'm one up with 4 holes to go, and now I'm shaking. Now mm-hmm. I'm really shook, and I'm just seeing this thing slip away. And Stan pulls me off to the side. He said, listen, he said, before the week started, would you have taken being 1 up in the final match? Would you have taken that? I said, well, sure I would. He said, that's what you've got. He said, I want you to refocus, go through your pre-shot routine, get back in the match. He said, you're going to win this match. And I somehow figure out a way to make par over the next 3 holes, go to 18, and I'm 1 up. and it's that hole again.
Mm-hmm.
And I had hit it in the water twice through the week, so I've got that in my mind. But I just remember he was up first and he hit this drive, and it's just he piped it. And I had hit driver badly there, so I told Stan to give me a 3-wood because I felt more confident with my 3-wood. And I'll never forget, I hit this thing, and it one hops past his driver. And I said, okay, you know, at least we're in play. And he hits it about 8 feet past the hole. I get up and pull it down kind of on the bank to the left in some thick grass down by the water. And I think I've got to make it because he's going to make this putt. And I chip it about 5 feet past, kind of goes out of the, mm-hmm. gets hot out of that grass. And I've got a downhill side hill putt. And he hits a putt that to this day I don't know how it didn't go in, but he missed it. And I've got this 5-foot downhill side hill putt to win the U.S. Senior Amateur. And I don't remember much about it. I guess Stan helped me read it. But it was just like, you know, you just kind of fog out. But it caught the low lip as it's dying out of the hole and kind of circles the cup and dies in. And it was like, you know, life was good.
You're a USGA champion. What's that feeling like?
It's kind of hard to describe that, Trey, because it had been so long since I had won anything, much less, you know, I'd never won a USGA event, never thought I would. But I remember that was the longest week of my life because I had not played much golf, and we played a practice round, 36 holes qualifying, and then 6 straight matches
mm-hmm.
against some of the best players in the country. And I just remember being so exhausted. My wife and I got in the cart, and we were driving around that long levee around to the clubhouse, and I just completely lost it. You know, I'm not an emotional person, but I just completely lost it because I finally realized that it was over. I'd hit my last shot, and it was over. You know, it was great that I won, but I was just glad it was over.
Lewis, how neat was it to not have your wife there, but to have Stan and his wife there,
yeah.
too, you know, for that whole week?
It was it's kind of hard to put that into words because Stan and I are close. You know, we're very opposite.
For anybody that is listening and doesn't understand how opposite you guys are, I mean, it's like night and day.
We always have been. We see things very differently.
Yep.
You know, we're polar opposites in a lot of ways, but no two brothers have ever been closer, and maybe because of that. But it'll go down as one of the special days of my life, and having him there, and he was directly responsible for me winning, directly.
What did he say to you after that putt sank?
I don't know that we even said anything. We just he came up to me on the 18th green and just gave me this huge bear hug, and I've got a picture of it here that's I'll never forget that. I don't think words were necessary.
Growing up, when did you first fall in love with the game of golf?
When the Red Apple was built in 1963, a little 9-hole golf course. My uncle, Henry Kelly, was a little bit of a golfer, and he invited us to play. Stan and I were baseball players because our dad was a professional baseball player, played in the White Sox organization. So we were baseball players, and football and basketball were our loves. But we started playing golf. I was 7, Stan was 11, and before, within a year or two, we just kind of loved it. And we continued all the sports through high school, but then we kind of had to make a decision, you know, are we going to try to play baseball or something else? And it was golf.
Mm-hmm.
And started playing competitive golf at the old Conway Country Club in the Conway Junior Four Ball.
Okay.
1967. And that was our first taste of competition. And it was fun. And there wasn't much in the way of junior golf back then, Trey. Couple of four balls maybe, and maybe the state junior, but that's about it.
Did you just follow in his footsteps? I mean, if Stan was doing it, I wanted to do it?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. Stan was always competitive in whatever he did. He wanted to win. I not so much, but from his perspective and from his setting the example and seeing the success that he got, it kind of got in my blood that I wanted to experience that too. I never loved it like he did. You know, not many people know this, but I've never really enjoyed competition that much. To this day, I still don't. I'm kind of a scramble player. But even then, in college, it was a means to an end. I just didn't love it, and I knew it was not going to be my life. Stan didn't. He thought it was going to be his life, and it was for a few years. But I never had that. I never had that dream, that goal. And looking back, it was probably good that I didn't. I knew that number one, I wasn't good enough to play the game for a living, and number two, it golf is so expensive and so time consuming. It freed me up to pursue a career and be successful in that. So it was good for me.
When you started your family, did you think that, well, have kids one day, maybe they'll take up the game?
I had two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of changes things. And early on, they played a little bit of golf, but they never picked it up. They never really cared much for it. They were into cheerleading and that type of thing. So they never really picked it up. So I didn't have to go through that. I wish I could have. I wish they would have, but it just wasn't in the cards.
Well, now that they're married,
yeah.
And one's married to a prominent football coach, yeah. Rhett Lashley, yeah. Head coach of the SMU Mustangs. It's my understanding he's a very good golfer.
Yeah, he is. Rhett is just a natural athlete. He, whatever ball it is that's in play, he's going to be good and he's going to be competitive, and he can hit it a mile. Sometimes he doesn't really know where it's going to come down, but he's a great young man, smart, and he's done big things, and he's going to do more big things.
What's that dynamic like when you watch him coach and, let's say, a game doesn't go the way that it possibly should? It kind of tugs at you, doesn't it?
It does, and I'm a pretty monotone, even keel guy. I don't get too high or too low about anything. But when we're down there or when they're playing on television, I get pretty jacked. And if a call doesn't go their way, I may not act like I should, but or say the things that I should. But I think that's just kind of natural as a father-in-law, pulling for his son-in-law's team.
Well, that's when you need Stan in the room, and he can say those things.
Well, and he does. And he does.
Back to you guys playing and growing up in the Arkansas State Golf Association. You've played in a lot of designateds. I believe you both won some players of the year.
Yeah.
You compete in the four ball every year. Stan was a president of the Arkansas State Golf Association. What does the Arkansas State Golf Association mean to Stan and Lewis Lee?
Oh, it's hard to articulate that, Trey, because we remember when there was no such thing. Having played in the late 60s and then primarily through the 70s, it was the Monk Wade Association. Mm-hmm. Monk Wade ran the tournaments, and there weren't many back then like there are now, but he was the guy. He did all the legwork, and God bless him. Mr. Wade was one of the best men I've ever known. But he kind of pulled the strings and made that happen. So having that perspective and seeing where golf in Arkansas has grown to now, with a full board and Jay Fox doing all that he does, and he's just one of our favorite people. Jay Fox has been a great friend forever, and we just appreciate what he does. We have a real appreciation for golf in Arkansas and how hard it is to put all that together and make it work. It's a big job.
Your brother is not afraid to speak his mind to anyone.
No, he's not.
At any time.
No.
You're the exact opposite.
I am.
You kind of sit back and
yeah.
listen and watch and
yeah.
take it all in. You were telling me a story about your brother before we started recording for this episode at the United States yeah. Senior Am when you won. About him and a competitor from the state of New York.
There's a very well known, renowned national, international player. His name is George Zeringer, and he is from New York City. And since then, I've gotten to know George well. I did not know him at that time because I was new to the scene
right.
of national golf.
He had played in 36
hadn't
years.
Played. And so the third round, the second round, it was Stan was playing George Zeringer. And George, I'm pretty sure he is a past winner of the U.S. Senior. I know he's won the British Senior. He's just an accomplished player and a good guy. But they're on the first tee of the second match, and they've known each other. They've played some competitions together. They're good friends. And they're on the first tee, and as Stan is given to do, he says, George, he said, you're from New York City. And George says, yeah. And Stan says, well, how many people live in New York City? And George says, well, there's 8 million. And Stan says, is there anyone else left in the field that's from New York City? And he said, nope, it's just me. And Stan says, well, how does it make you feel that you're one of 8 million that are still in this tournament and there's two in the field from 5,000 population Heber Springs, Arkansas. And George was somewhat dumbfounded, and Stan proceeded to put a real beatdown on him after that.
Here's what's funny, Lewis, is I can see Stan standing there and talking while he's, you know, getting loose, warming up or whatever, just swinging the club a little bit, maybe with one hand, you know, his little waggle that he does, and he's talking to Mr. Zeringer about this, and I can just deadpan see him say this, and it hits you, and it's like, wow.
Yeah. He was talking smack, and apparently it worked.
Apparently it did work.
Yeah.
What does it mean to have two United States Golf Association champions, like you said, from right here in Heber Springs?
You know, again, Trey, it's hard to articulate that, because it was such an unexpected thing. Nobody saw this coming. Literally, when I was on my way driving up to Richmond for that tournament, my chief concern was that I was going to embarrass myself, because, you know, I hadn't practiced, I hadn't played much, and I didn't know how I would respond to a great golf course in front of a bunch of people playing with a bunch of, you know, really good players. Thinking about all that, it's still a little bit hard to believe it happened. I'm so grateful, and I wouldn't take anything for it. But I'm not sure I'd want to go through that again. I'm just not sure. That's just not what Lewis Lee is all about.
What does it mean to Lewis Lee to be in the Arkansas State Golf Association Hall of Fame?
Well, that's really special. When I got the call about that, I remember just being blown away, because Stan had been inducted a few years more alongside Byron Nelson. And so I knew the gravity of that. I knew the weight of all that. But, you know, it's just a validation of a lifetime of competition and playing and trying to comport yourself well and being a friend to people and doing the right thing. It's just a validation of that. And it was pretty special. I'll never forget it.
Best golf course you've ever played?
Trey, that's a hard question.
I know
it is, because you've played a lot and I've played a lot of golf courses. But probably the most famous golf course is Pebble Beach. But if you put that out in the middle of Kansas, it's just another golf course. I would say the best golf course I've ever played would be maybe Oakland Hills, Inverness. Those two are right up there, you know, U.S. Open venues. Over the top, difficult, but that's a hard question. I'd have to think about that, but they'd be right up there.
Fantasy foursome, you and three others, living or deceased, that you could play around a golf with.
That's easy. It would be Stan.
I kind of figured he would be on there.
It would be our dad, who loved to play golf. He was a great athlete, baseball player, but a pretty good golfer. And then probably our cousin, you may know, Hank Kelly in Little Rock. Mm-hmm. Hank is my first cousin. Grew up together playing golf all those years. He's just one of my best buddies. And that would probably be my fantasy foursome. I'm a pretty simple guy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Lewis, thanks so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
You bet, Trey. Thank you.
Traveling to Fayetteville to watch a game? Forgot to book a room for the night? Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group has you covered. Stay where the fans stay. Staybridge Suites is just south of Baum Walker Stadium and is an all-suite hotel within walking distance of Baum Walker, Bud Walton, and Razorback Stadium. Or you could stay at the Comfort Inn and Suites with newly remodeled rooms throughout the entire property. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels.
This is Thomas Blackman of Blackman Auctions. You all know by now I'm not a good golfer, but my son loves the game and he and I have been playing more. I've got my score down to, I've quit playing a scramble on every hole, I'm using the bunker rake much less than I used to, and a lot of the time I hit my drives past the women's tee box. All of my success in golf can directly be tied to me listening to From the Short Grass. Without it, I would not be the golfer I am today. Trey, you owe me $20 for that. Trey knows golf, I know auctions. Come see us at BlackmanAuctions.com. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
That will do it for this edition of From the Shortgrass. Real quick, I want to thank Matthew Allen and Blair Allen, Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group. They know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you go to their website, bphotels.com, to find your next place to stay. One of their properties that they manage is where you need to stay. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. Try to avoid the heat. And I hope to see you sometime very soon From the Shortgrass.
You've been listening to From the Shortgrass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.